Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family office right here in Sun City, bringing you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we do appreciate you being here. And more importantly, I appreciate J.R. being here today because he seems like he is on his deathbed.
I'm on my deathbed every day. I am very much a hypochondriac. You know, I am a dude, so women.
This is puberty? Is that why your voice is changing?
Yes.
You finally hit it?
It's about time, right? I mean, it was a slow creep from 16 to 60, but I finally got there. So, yeah, I'm a guy. I mean, women. Your mom, my wife, our office manager at Rochford Associates, she went through the worst back issue I've ever seen a human go through. She's been through the big C. I mean, she's had some problems, and she doesn't really complain. She does to me, but to anybody else, she doesn't really complain. If I get a paper cut, I'm out for 6 months. Stub my toe, add 2 months to it. So I am such a wimp. I don't think I have the flu or COVID. I don't have that hit by a bus feeling, but my chest and my throat are definitely letting me know that I need to chill. So with that in mind, today, I will rant and rave like usual because I don't care what my chest and my throat have to say. I am stronger than them.
Jim was even saying before we got on air that as soon as I wound you up a little bit, he's like, all of a sudden, you sound a lot better. That's all it takes. It's that adrenaline. We just run off that. Let me tell you how I'm voting for Hillary in 2024 and see what you have to say.
Then Hillary's out there again. I saw an interview. She was on one of those late night. I don't know how they can call those comedy shows anymore. It's all about politics and racial division every time I tune in anyway. And I do try to check on those shows once in a while just to make sure I'm not missing anything. It's insane. And Hillary was out there yabbering again. I have trouble. I don't know how anybody, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. I don't know how anybody can take some of these politicians seriously. So, and quite frankly, currently in this world with everything going on, I feel somewhat unsafe. So I would say the most important thing, whoever is going to run this country, at least keep us safe. So, well, and here we go. I get started. I every single week, I have way more that I find than I can get to. And this week's no exception. You know, let's start with politics. Why not? Let's jump right into it. So let's go local first and then national for a minute. Denver, this is an article I read on April 12th. One of my very favorite sources, because they do find the negative stuff. And when we're taking an hour each week to sound alarms, we don't have enough time for all the stories about puppies and kitties and how great things are. We want you awake. We want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. So all of this stuff that I bring to you, and it's been 2 years now we've had this show. We have never had a lull in bringing you things. I bring you the bad stuff because it's all adding up. There's going to be a misstep, whether it's geopolitical, looking at you, Iran, China, Taiwan, Ukraine, whatever, whether it's financial. I mean, my gosh, $34.6 trillion in debt. And yet I have plenty of articles for each week to show you where we have a new universal basic income popping up. I didn't get to those last few weeks because we had other things to tend to, but I have those piling up. So when you want me to bring one each week, I can start that again. But anyway, let's get back to Denver, Colorado. So the title of this Zero Hedge article from the 12th of April, today, by the way, is the 17th of April. We record on Wednesdays. We air on Saturdays at noon on 960 The Patriot. And Anthony's really good at telling people if you can't wait, if your anticipation is so great, you feel like you're in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, tune in on podcasts. because we actually really come out. They get this stuff ready. Jim, Doug, everybody gets this stuff ready, and it comes out Friday late afternoon or early evening. So catch us wherever you find your favorite podcast. But anyway, so back to I keep going back to Denver for some reason. It's a beautiful city. So Denver cuts taxpayer services. Did you hear that part? Let me start with that part again. Denver cuts taxpayer services. Now, do you want to know why, Anthony?
Tell me. I would love to.
Diverts $90 million. $90 million. Doesn't that almost sound like 90 million amateurs? You know, we work in trillions. We no longer work in millions or billions in this country. Diverts $90 million to support illegal immigrants. One other thing about Zero Hedge, they call things as they see them. I rarely see the word newcomers unless they're saying what horse crap that word is. So, after more than a year of facing the crisis together, Denver finally has a sustainable plan for treating our... Oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Oh yeah, it's Denver saying this. For treating our newcomers with dignity while avoiding the worst cuts to city services, Mr. Johnson said in a statement. So many times we were told that we couldn't be compassionate while still being fiscally responsible. How do you see yourself as fiscally responsible if you're cutting benefits to taxpayers and you're giving it to the newcomer slash illegal aliens? City officials claim the new approach will allow for, I love this, will allow for surges of immigrants while focusing on helping them become independent. That's what we're doing right now. We're bracing ourselves for surges of new people in the country and helping them become...
We're not taking care of the people that are already here.
That's a really good point. Really good point. I'm not going to get to it. It's way down on my articles. But here's an article I got from the American Legion. This was on March 21st. Senior enlisted leaders push expansion of basic needs allowance to help address food insecurity in the military. We've covered this. There's a whole bunch of military people that have to get food stamps just to get by. And yet I'm reading this article. It's saying, screw the military, screw the food insecure, screw the homeless, screw the about to be homeless. We're going to shift this money to the newcomers, the illegal aliens. Sorry. So, I don't feel like I have a cold at all right now. You're right, Jim. My adrenaline will carry me through this without a problem. Let's continue. The illegal immigrant will be housed in apartments for up to 6 months. Housed in apartments for 6 months. And, taxpayers, somebody's got to pay that. Somebody owns the apartments, so guess who? They will also receive job and skill training, opportunities for skills certifications. That almost sounds like school. Unpaid job experience, food assistance, and help filing for asylum applications. So it sounds like they're going to get a lot of miscellaneous money. I read to you last week, I read a bunch of line items like dry cleaning, diapers. Remember that, Anthony, when I was talking
about...
Yeah,
no, that was an insanely long list.
So it's just, it keeps going. I guess I don't need to read anymore. Actually, I'll read one more line of this. We are going to share this playbook with all cities around the country. So Denver is going to be a shining example of how to rob the taxpayers and help people that just got here. We think we have now cracked the code on how to help people. They cracked the code, Mr. Johnson, is that right? You cracked the code. Instead of funding the police departments, instead of money for sanitation, fire departments, I don't know what services you're cutting, but I'm glad you're doing so good. So that was Denver.
Well, I'm willing to bet they probably could cut $90 million in services, because I'd be willing to bet that there's that kind of waste in government spending, but don't you think they could spend it better?
I do.
You know, it's good that they're finding waste. Well, if they're finding waste, they might actually just be cutting benefits that people need to get themselves into the headlines as this beacon of hope for everybody else. But they've got, I've been to Denver a couple of times in the last few years. Like, it's a little rough down there in places. You know, they got their own problems to handle. So that hurts here. It really bothers me.
You should go to San Francisco. Isn't your favorite baseball team the San Francisco Giants?
I am a Giants fan. I haven't been there in a very long time, but I've heard horror stories. I'd be curious on what it's like, you know, if that got cleaned up or not.
You want an idea? No, it hasn't. I know, 6 months ago we had some We had the leader of China come in, and Newsom cleaned up the cities and hid the homeless and did all that. And then my understanding was it went right back to how it was. So I don't think you'll find it that appealing.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
And you did say something that's really spot on. We need to shave expense where we can. There's a lot of bloated programs. There's a lot of baloney too. I mean, I just read earlier this week that Jerome Powell, you know, the big guy in charge of inflation and keeping that under control. So Jerome, or he listens to the show, I probably can call him Jerry at this point. So he, apparently his salary is, I don't know what I read too. I didn't print it. I'm like, who cares? It was like 220 or 240 grand. So he makes a decent salary, you know, being a higher upper in our financial system. But apparently the estimate of his net worth, this is what piqued my interest. And this is an awfully big range. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure if they know what they're talking about or not, but the range of his net worth on the low end was 20 million. On the upper end was 55 million. So I have a question. How are you as a public servant for so long, even if he was worth anything, let's give him 5 million. I mean, I'll be okay with 5 million or under, but if the range of Jerome Powell's net worth, I see you frantically typing. Anthony is really good at research while I'm yabbering. So if the low end is 20 million and the high end is 55 million, either one of those numbers, unacceptable to me. I mean, you know, when this country was new, we used to leave our jobs and represent the people and then go back to our jobs. And now the representation is our jobs. It's insane. You know, Biden, they just came out yesterday. You know, every year we hear about tax time. Apparently Biden earned in 2023 in the range of 600 million. How does that happen, by the way? I thought you only get paid like 475 only. I thought if you're the president, you get under half a million, but he earned over 600,000 and excuse me. His tax bracket, they said, was 23%. So he must have a pretty good, he got some good deductions over there, his multiple homes and stuff. Maybe he's paying a lot of mortgage interest or whatever. I don't know. Maybe he's got child tax credit. And we'll get to it later. But you do realize we're looking at doing another spending package. I think it's going to go on the, you know, to pass on Saturday.
$60 billion for Ukraine. We're borrowing $80,000 per second, $4.6 million a minute. The generals and the officials in Ukraine are buying beach houses all over the world the money. There's no oversight.
Somebody from Ukraine went to, I think it was Monaco. They were looking at all of the supercars, the hypercars, all of them Ukrainian license plates. This is theft of the American people's money.
And they want to do another $60 billion.
At least 33 cents of every dollar we send over does not make it to anyone.
It's going to beach houses and things.
Yeah, it's going to corruption.
So it's for another $60 billion to go to mostly Ukraine. Most of it's Ukraine. Some of it is Israel, etc. So while they're doing that, they're also talking about, can't make this up, cutting the child tax credit. So
that part's new. I hadn't heard that one part of it.
Yeah, go ahead and get your little fingers moving and look up the chance that they're going to get rid of the child tax credit. I don't have time to dig into that, so you'll have to do it. But I'm floored. I'm annoyed. So, and when you have said to me over the years that you've been in the office, why can't they keep printing money? I mean, I see all the memes on Facebook. If the government can just print money, why are we still paying taxes? Why do I have a mortgage? Why can't we help people that live here?
So we've skin in the game. Duh.
So we're subservient. So we're slaves to the system. Yeah, that might be part of it. So I'm so sick to my stomach about so many things. You know, since we've gotten out of Denver, let's talk about our federal situation for 1 second. I got an article yesterday on the 16th of April from Bloomberg. I got it through Yahoo Finance. We're trying to be good at citing our sources because we give you so many things each week. If you want to look them up and read them for yourself, we'd love that. So according to Bloomberg, the IMF steps up its warning to the United States over spending and ballooning debt. I love that. The IMF, you know what that stands for?
The International Monetary
Fund. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's not ignorant mother anythings. I believe you're right. It's the International Monetary. So anyway, so now they're concerned. We're at 34.6 $1 trillion in debt on the books. That's not underfunded liabilities, unfunded liabilities. That's what they're claiming we have. It's growing. They just passed that new spending package. I don't know. We brought that to you a couple weeks ago. You know, we keep having a debt ceiling and we keep keeping the lights on and we do these Band-Aids. So the IMF is pointing out that Washington's overspending risks reigniting inflation and undermining long-term fiscal and financial stability around the world by ratcheting up global funding costs. The something will have to give, the IMF warned. And then they go on to say how Janet Yellen is trying to soothe things and make sure everything's okay. But Janet apparently also conceded that this could be vulnerable, is the word she used. The forecast is vulnerable, Yellen conceded, should interest rates remain elevated. I love that, Yellen. I love that, Janet Yellen. You come back from China and had your soup, and now you're going to say a little nugget of truth. You people are all so full of baloney. You know why I think the IMF is finally coming out and saying something? That we are in a race for how this country is going to change. We have been telling you, BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, whatever, South Africa, they are getting stronger. They're adding nations. In October, they have a big meeting where they may be talking about being gold-backed. They are going to have some sort of a central bank digital currency over the BRICS. They are going to take over the world reserve currency. Yes, yes, it has not happened. So can it not happen? Yeah, it cannot happen forever. Yeah, maybe it'll be 20 years, but maybe it'll be October.
Well, I mean, Janet Yellen, I think we, I don't remember if we played the clip or we just quoted her, but she's come out and said that the BRICS is going to be a problem one day. She said it's not immediate, but there, she's, the fact that she's even mentioned it instead of just dismissing it entirely means that she knows how crucial this could be one day. I mean, and we're seeing the gold prices skyrocket. We talked about that last week, that it could have something to do with the BRICS stepping up their game. They've said that if we're going to build something, we want to have it backed, you know, just like gold used to back the U.S. dollar and was strong. And then, you know, since then, it's lost, what, 97% of its value since the dollar came out? Sounds absolutely right. Insane.
And the problem is, there's a lot of people that think if this country, when we unveil our new central bank digital currency, may I remind you, to when our show was in its infancy, we told you about Executive Order 14067. You still have time to look that up. You know, it's a slow creep. It's still coming, though. We explained to you FedNow, which was launched last summer. It was supposed to make instant payments a reality, which it has not done. I've made a bunch of different transactions via my online portal with different banks and credit unions, and not one single one yet has been instant. So FedNow, you're full of crap. So I just, this stuff with BRICS getting stronger and getting ready to take over, and then SWIFT coming out and announcing within 1 to 2 years they're going to change to a CBDC, it's all caving around us. So we can think our country is never going to change, but the rest of the world knows that it is. Something interesting, Anthony, I saw this in March on Zero Hedge. And it just was interesting because of the timing. U.S. spent more than double what it collected in February as 2024 deficit is second highest ever and debt explodes. And then what I noticed was we've added 60% to the national debt since 2018. Germany, a country with major economic woes, added just 32%. So we're in trouble, they're in trouble, but we added double the debt. But 2018, think about that for a second. What you're seeing, Anthony, in real life is the decline of a financial system in a nation. You joined the practice in 2018. We've doubled our debt since 2018.
Well, it's not just, you know, the U.S. right now. It's more global. I mean, that article just said, you know, we're doing worse than Germany, but describe Germany at how terrible Germany is doing. I mean, I think I remember when I first joined that Germany was being held together by Italy. So Italy was on the verge, but Germany was kind of keeping Italy alive. Greece has still been an issue through 2008. The U.S. is an issue. And it's funny that debt is just, I mean, I get that's how you expand. You expand through debt and credit, and it's how you build an economy. But we've pushed it too far. You run out eventually. And I think we're seeing where it runs out. So if the U.S. is failing, that means other people are failing worse. So how does that all tie together? You know, is this next 2008 crippled the whole world from just U.S. housing and betting on U.S. housing? So U.S. housing crippled a lot of the entire world. What happens when the currencies around the world fail? And I had a question too, because, you know, we left interest rates down for forever, which artificially inflated the market. You know, free money, stock repurchasing, borrowing to, you know, buy shares. And it worked to make a lot of people a lot of money. That's kind of put us into this issue that we're having now.
Wait. Did you say a lot of people a lot of money? No, say very few people a lot of money. Get no, to what I always say. The richer get richer.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
So, no, stop. You're right. But what happens, you know, them talking about if interest rates continue to, because right now I feel like interest rates are fair, relatively. I think they're still kind of low than what they've been historically outside of, you know, the last 15 years where they're nothing. But now actually seems good. Like if we could build something around here, we should be okay. But do you think that they could end up cutting rates again, you know, if the market goes down a little bit and they start throwing that fit? And what do you think we would see if we try that again and just cutting rates? Do you think it just goes back to an artificial bubble again? I mean, we've raised rates and the bubble is still growing. It's still growing. It doesn't make sense.
What it's back to. No, it's, and Jim sent us an article a couple weeks ago. It was from Fast Money. I think we talked about it last week for a hair. The Fed must get more aggressive with rate cuts due to weakening job market. The weakening job market, you know, give me a break. I mean, the job market, there's no jobs. I mean, you've got a bunch of people coming over the borders that are taking low paying jobs. You've got a bunch of people that are retired that can't make ends meet with this inflation, with their Social Security and hopefully a small pension. So the job market's in trouble. So if they lower interest rates, and Anthony, you're right. I mean, the traditional 30-year fixed note for a mortgage is still in the range of 7%. We had I don't know what it was, 15 or whatever a year, less than that, but we had this run where you could get a 30-year fixed mortgage for between 2.5% and 3.5%. That should be the traditional car note. It's not sustainable. What we had before that was more normal. So if the Fed lowers rates, it's going to be for a couple reasons. One, it's going to be because the interest on the debt is unsustainable. When the interest on the debt is the largest payment over the military, over Social Security, over other programs, it can't keep going. There's only so much tax dollar you can take from people. So it's not going to keep going. So they're going to do it to help the debt, which is too late. They won't cut spending. That's what they would have to do first. They won't cut spending. The second reason they could cut it, it's an election year. I mean, of course they're going to cut it during an election year because it makes the people with credit card debt happy. Who is most likely to keep the current administration in place? And we will get a little bit to student loans. We're going to get to some of this stuff because that's back on the table this week. So yeah, they probably will lower it because of the debt. They'll lower it because of the election year. And lastly, what you said, if the stock market starts tanking, they have to keep that up at all costs. Who's in the stock market? Do you really think the middle class have the bulk of the stock market? It's kind of like all the wealth in the world. Smaller amounts of people control more wealth. So
unfortunately, if anybody has any sort of retirement plans, it's now 401ks. Pensions don't exist anymore. So unfortunately, people are forced into this system and very, very dependent on it in the middle class.
That I've been saying to you since you've been in this office and before that, you probably just didn't really understand it. The rich are getting richer, the poor are hovering, and the middle class is shrinking. Well, over the last 6 years since you've been in the office, I hope you're seeing it. If you were upper middle class, when you got in the office in 2018, if you were upper middle class, you are now middle class. If you were middle class, you are now lower class. If you were lower middle class, you are now poor. The poor hover. Once you get to poor, you're just going to hover. Then you can put your hand out. Your mom and I saw a commercial on the television set last night. What a heaping, steaming pile of crap the TV is. So we saw a commercial for the healthcare.gov, and it basically said your premiums can be low as $10 per month. And then in the little asterisk section, I ran up to the TV to look at the fine print. It basically said with this subsidies. So if somebody is out there paying $10 a month for their health insurance, and your mom and I and your younger brother are paying $1,700 a month, or I don't know what it is, $1,900 a month, there is a problem. It's all broken, Anthony. You are seeing the demise of a country, and it doesn't end well. And I'm so tired of people lying to us. If we have a problem in this country with inflation, how on earth are we still talking about this weekend they're going to do another bill, a $60 billion bill to Ukraine? It doesn't make sense. We spent two pretty solid weeks talking about Social Security and that you better start addressing it now. If you're 58, 59, 60, 61, you better start addressing it. If you need help addressing it, reach out to us. We're going to be honest with you. We're going to help you find the best solution for yourself and what you should do when you should take Social Security. I mean, really, we don't do a good enough job drumming up business for our office because our business is trying to help you. So call us, 623-523-0444. Email us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Reach out to us.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. Fixed indexed annuities can help protect your retirement savings against market ups and downs. Nationwide's P10 can help protect against market risk and provide guaranteed income for life. P10 also has an optional rider that offers an immediate 20% bonus based on your principal applied to your income benefit base. Call us now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444 to connect with a qualified advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Guarantees and protections referenced within are subject to the claims paying ability of Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company. Nationwide Peak 10 is issued by Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio. Neither Nationwide nor its other entities are associated or affiliated with Brookstone Capital Management, LLC.
Got questions? Call Rochford & Associates now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hear me out. Let's take you back to before you were awake and aware of your surroundings, which I think has really ramped up since 2018. Do you remember under the Obama administration, do you remember hearing that our country dropped off a pallet of cash overnight in Iran? Does that ring a bell?
I do.
Cash. You know that's not, that it's literal, not figuratively speaking. We dropped off cash to Iran. At the same time, Iran, the people in Iran were always out there shouting, death to Israel, death to the U.S. They call us the great Satan. Under Trump, we decided that wasn't really a good idea. You're never going to be able to bribe these people not to hate us. There's no amount of money in the world that will keep these people from hating us. You know what that pallet of cash did? If you want my opinion, I'm not there. I'm not one of their bookkeepers. But you know what I'm pretty sure it did? It beefed up their nuclear program. So then we had a four-year term where we laid off on trying to make friends and make nice. And we tried to make the country strong again and tell people, like the Reagan days, we're gonna have peace through strength. And then now under the Biden regime, it's gone the other way again. We're trying to buy friends with Iran. I told you last week to look up Dearborn, Michigan. These people are not hiding it. These people literally they all want to kill us. They're not hiding it. So we are funding people that want to kill us. If you don't think that's problematic, I'm not sure what you're thinking it is. So they this whole thing with Iran. So Iran attacked Israel, whether it was symbolic, I don't know. I mean, they were shooting drones and missiles, and there's the Iron Dome, and apparently it was not a big success. But everything I'm reading says it was more of a test. It was more of a symbolic gesture. And they are waiting for Israel, and this could happen today on the 17th of April. They're waiting for Israel to retaliate and attack back. And then they are going to have a bigger attack. Well, let's say this happens. So now we're in geopolitics, which is one of our 10 pillars. So let's say there's a counterattack from Israel now to Iran. Well, we have to take sides with Israel. So now we are going to stand firm with Israel against Iran. Well, on Iran's side, they have Russia. Russia is highly committed to defending Iran. China is highly committed to helping Russia. This is, you know, I think we're in World War III. I think once you have ships in the Gaza Strip, once you have, you know, giving money to Ukraine, you know, where things are going on in Somalia, all over the world, we are got our little fingers in it. So I think we're in World War III. But let's just say we're not. You know, matter of semantics. So this will be World War III. Oh, and we have another World War III caveat too in Ukraine, because basically they want Ukraine to join NATO, and Russia said if Ukraine joins NATO, then we are going to, you know, annihilate you. That's World War III. And there's a lot of nations that have nuclear capabilities now. So this is kind of frightening. I completely lost your question. I went off on geopolitics and lost where this started. But
talking about Iran getting involved, and still everything here seems day to day like this, not quite that black swan, but it really does look closer to a world conflict is getting more and more near.
Yep. Well, and bring it on, mini me. Keep going. Say that. I want you to say, this almost seems like the calm before the storm. And then I will drop the mic and walk away. You are ready, Grasshopper, to take over for me. It's just that it's on so
never
many
fronts. Disagreed. You're the one who disagrees for me, or on my behalf for me, when I don't say half the things you say, I say.
Yeah, but you're always, you know, you do what you're supposed to do as a critical thinking adult. You do like point counterpoint. You play devil's advocate. You want to make sure I've vetted and verified. You want to show me there's two sides to every story. And I appreciate that. When we saw the guy that spoke after we did at the legislative district meeting a couple weeks ago, you know, his thing was don't stock up unless you're going to get training. My thing is like, well, that, of course, that's good advice. If you're going to buy a gun, you don't want to shoot yourself. You don't want somebody to grab it and shoot you with it. So get trained. My thing, it's too late in the game. You better stock up right now. Even if you don't know how to use a life straw, if you don't know what a water bob is and you don't know how to use it, why don't you get it? You at least get it. Because once there's a run on the store, you know, remember the toilet paper shortage? Once there's a run on things, you're not going to get it.
And so, you know, it's funny. What? I have no real life skills like this. You know, I bought guns and ammo after our conversation. We've had clients take me out shooting so I can learn. But I bought some like miscellaneous survival book things off Amazon to review, because I was like, well, if it gets bad, I mean, I should probably learn these things now and have some sort of skills if things ever did get bad, camping and fishing and all that. But I was like, as a worst case scenario, if I have to learn on the fly, I should probably buy some books. So I did.
Good, because when we get a solar flare or a, you know, an eclipse that we all die, or if we get a EMP or a high altitude EMP, then you're not going to be able to pop onto YouTube and see how to work a camp stove. So yeah, good. And you know, your mom did that years ago when she was basically fighting me along the way of trying to, you know, have what we need if things ever get weird. She was out there buying books on poisonous plants in the desert and how to start a fire and all this stuff. It was wonderful. We have friends, Mike and Ellen, that they gave her a couple of these end of the world books. And I was like, good, because at least we have a resource with us. So, and my thing is, there's safety in numbers. Your best thing to do if things get weird is team up. So if you don't feel like you're prepared adequately to use the equipment you bought, good news, somebody that's in your team may need it if they exhaust theirs. They may be able to, in the downtime, if we don't have life as normal as we know right now, and don't say this can't happen. If you look at the rest of the world, I mean, I'm watching Argentina again, 270% inflation over in Argentina right now. I'm sorry, 271, I read. So don't tell me it can't happen here, Venezuela. I'm looking at you. You're going to have a lot of downtime. when you're not going into the office, when you're not going out with the clients and doing some tactical training, you're going to have a little more downtime, hunkered down, whether you're here in Snowflake, I don't know. I mean, who knows? So, you know, then you'll have time to read. You'll have time, you know, maybe I can train you on something. Maybe I can teach you some things that I've learned. You know, I went to an all-boys Catholic military boarding school. I was in the military. I mean, I've learned some stuff over the years. I went to see the movie Civil War last weekend when it came out. And it's funny because the movie drags a little bit, a couple slow parts, which it kind of needed to because it's got to suck you in. And there were some unrealistic parts. I know that when you're actually in an active war battle scene, you know, the movie's about the press. It's how the press sees what's going on. I don't want to give too much to ruin it because everybody in this country that's 18 or older should see this movie, at least for food for thought and to have conversations. So I think under, you know, heated battle, I don't think somebody with a camera should be right next to somebody who's live firing. But anyway.
We had that in Iraq. That was, you know, 2001 was kind of the first real televised war as it was happening.
But it was at a distance. These people are literally walking as they're clearing things. You'll have to see it to see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a little too much. It's not long-range photography with good close-up lenses and drones taking pictures. This is press actually marching lockstep in a flank position to sweep a house, for example. So it was
you're
a little bit
moving.
So. I overthink everything is what I do, Anthony. Thank you for... but anyway, so what it did was it gave me a little bit of like... Like when I worked in the hospital, and one of the things we had training on was, you know, if somebody was shot, you know, we had to get training on how to stop the bleeding, how to put the powder in there and the gauze and tape them up. We had to learn how to use a tourniquet, all that stuff. And it was like, holy cow. I mean, a few years back, I went to these community preparedness teams. That's where I met some of my friends like Randy and Kat. And it was like, yeah, I mean, a lot of this is not foreign to me. I had heard of an individual first aid kit, an IFAC. But this movie really gave me some memories of some of my training. So I thought, under pressure, I think my training will somewhat come back to me. Anyway, side story.
Or you could start training again. Be ready.
It's too late. I mean, you're right. I mean, if we find extra time, you know, what does every single person in the country need for every single scenario? More time and more money. So, I mean, right now my problem is time. I don't have time to sleep. That's probably why I don't feel well. So, let's move on. Let's get to something different. When you become mini-me and you say that you don't have differing opinions, I got a couple things for you today that might get you to kind of second guess that. Let me get to one more thing because I don't want to miss it. I don't know if you've read about this, and I don't think I had time to send it to you. Here's an article from Fox Business from the 12th of April. U.S. Steel shareholders vote on controversial, is it Nippon or Nippon?
That was the Japanese company that was going to buy them that we talked about.
Maybe the time is here. Right. Well, it was approved. Yep. U.S. Steel shareholders approved the $14.1 billion controversial takeover by Japanese-owned Nippon Steel. And I won't bore you with reading much of this. Part of the good thing about this, we need to keep companies in this country solvent. Part of the bad of this, we have so lost our country. We've so lost it. I mean, when it's cheaper to get a bridge, to get a steel bridge made in Japan or in China and have it shipped over here to assemble with obviously Chinese workers. We can't make that stuff here. We got a problem. So let me just, I do want to read one thing because this gives me hope too about our government. It says here, Biden said, I stand by my commitment to American workers, speaking about the U.S. relationship with Japan. Well, how do you stand by your U.S. workers when you're talking about another company being taken over by Japan? I don't understand that. I stand by our commitment to our alliances. Okay, so that's good. This is exactly what we're doing as strong allies as well. Well, we also had a little war with Japan at one point. What if they turn on us and become unfriendly? Now they've got our steel company, but that's just me being crazy. Here's the part I like politically. Lawmakers criticize the merger. Senator John Fetterman, Democrat from Pennsylvania, called the deal outrageous. Democrat. I mean, this, you know, when I said last week, I hate that they keep saying what party affiliation. We better start being Americans, not right or left. So called the deal outrageous. Expressed concerns that the deal would hurt workers. Yeah, no kidding. Adding in a statement last month, I'll work like hell against any deal that leaves our steel workers behind. John Fetterman, who, you know, Frankenstein looked like a real miserable, you know, We could add Dr. Oz, but we got Fetterman. You know, all of a sudden he's coming around lately, saying some very smart things. So good on him. Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat, Ohio, urged the president to intervene on concerns that the merger will undermine the U.S. trade enforcement. You think? Our trade is gone. It's really gone. One more for you. Senators Josh Hawley, Republican out of Missouri, and J.D. Vance, a Republican out of Ohio, and Marco Rubio, a Republican out of Florida, urged CFIUS to block the sale on national security concerns. That was my first... Well, as soon as I started hearing about this, I'm like, wait a minute. The rest of the world is taking over every single facet of our living in this country. And here's another country that's going to basically profit on our industry. What happened to the steel mills? What happened to Pennsylvania? What happened to this country?
Look, and the funny thing, too, is, you know, everybody's worried about all the money we owe to China, but actually Japan is the number one country, or the number one debt holder for the U.S. as far as foreign countries are concerned. And yeah, the fact that it's just funny, too, because the name is U.S. Steel. And the thing is, there were bids from other American companies. They were less. So, of course, the shareholders are going to take the offer from a higher bidder, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters, is keeping shareholders happy and filling their pockets. That's why these banks can run them, and all these large companies can do the stock repurchasing, give themselves CEO, all these CEO, all these massive bonuses, and then run the business into the ground in any step of emergency. And they've profited, so what do they care? Just like SVB. Right before SVB failed, they had paid out a ton of bonuses to their higher-ups. So I'm going to get into my topic real quick, because I know I mentioned this last week. And now I really want everybody to look at this, because it's probably going to come up a lot more in the coming weeks as I figure more things out. But the FDIC, we bring it up all the time. You can look at what their reserves are. You can see how many failing banks are. You can see what the assets they're failing. You can see what they have on their annual report. It's not hard to read. We can send it to you if you reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. I'll show you exactly where to find it. But when SVB, the 14th or 16th largest bank, failed, and then Signature Bank and all these other banks in March of 23, they said that the taxpayers weren't going to pay for it. They said they were going to resolve this and the FDIC was going to take care of it. Most of that money should not have been under the FDIC. None of it should have been, or I think it was like less than 90% was actually FDIC insured. But when you look at the numbers, when you look at their annual report, they made money in 2023. Their coffers actually went up. And we had, what, 5 or 6 banks fail? None of that makes sense. So they even had a press statement a while back. I'll see if I can find that. It was a joint statement and released by the Secretary of Treasury, the Federal Reserve Board Chair, and the FDIC Chairman. And in that, it says, no losses associated with the resolution of Silicon Valley Bank will be borne by the taxpayer. Well, if it wasn't borne by the taxpayer, then it would come from the FDIC, and the FDIC did not lose money in 2023. So where did that money go?
You're being funny, right? You're being facetious. They lied. You want me to expound on that? Expand on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I guess, right? I don't know why I'm getting so deep into the weeds on this. Yeah, I guess it really is that simple.
And you know what? The article you sent me is really good. I recommend people do reach out to you to get it, because it's really good. But you know what? A big flaw in the article, they did say that as long as you keep under $250,000 in your account, you're covered. They forgot to point out, you should, you know, point out what we point out pretty much every week. Go over to FDIC.gov, plug in Depositor Insurance Fund, the old DIF, and look to see how much coverage you have on your covered accounts, your accounts that have under $250,000, the coverage amount is roughly 1.13%. I'm told when the new numbers come out from the end of March, it will be lower. I know you'll find that
1.15 right now.
Oh, it went up. Oh, good. Oh, good. So we actually have almost 1.25% guarantee our money. I get so angry. But the whole thing is we're being lied to. In the military, they used to say, stop peeing on my leg and tell me it's raining. That's the whole country's about lying and deceit. The rich are getting richer. Jerome Powell's got big piles of millions. Biden's in the 23% tax bracket, making 600 grand. He said he's not going to raise taxes. He's not going to hurt people making over 400 grand. Maybe he somehow forgot to jack his taxes up. I mean, who knows? I'm sick. I'm going to be missing in a white van. Don't care at this point. I got a couple more things if you want to switch gears.
Go for it.
A couple more things to watch out closely. So remember how we were just talking about Iran and pallets of cash and all that stuff? I saw there's a big fire going on over at the Scranton ammunition plant run by General Dynamics. I don't know if you heard about that. You know, there's only like 7 plants in this country that make munitions for the war effort. How do we send munitions over to Ukraine? How do we defend ourselves if we ever had a little problem in this country? What if China or other countries had work, you know, military age males come in this country and we had to fight? So it's suspicious. We brought up the food plants, you know, when planes hit a food plant, there were millions of chickens culled. That just happened again because of avian flu 2 weeks ago. So I don't know. If there's only like 7 plants that make ammunition, like big ammunition, you know, the missile kind of stuff. If one of those is on fire, that's a problem in my eyes. But I guess I don't know. I mean, conspiracy theory, fine line between you
that's
should worry.
That's one where I feel like our listeners have probably already stocked up on.
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Sandy Hook style 22 ammo is going to be missing for 4 years. 223556 ammo for 2 years. I'm talking about the war effort. I'm talking about how do we defend this nation? You know, we can go back and forth on the strategic oil reserve. You and I and our friend Michael C. from Sun City did that via text messaging this week. I mean, we're down to like 17 days worth of oil for the strategic oil reserve. I'm not worried about oil going through the roof because Iran and Israel fight and then we fight and then Russia and China fight and all of a sudden my gas is $10 a gallon. I'm more worried about if we have to go to war with too many countries or you know, countries start coming here, going to war, we're going to need that fuel for Humvees. You know, you're not thinking, people aren't thinking what would happen if we really go into war at this point in our country. We've weakened our military. We've emptied our strategic oil reserve. We've got a munitions plant on fire. Wake up, people. This could end poorly, especially if you have kids and grandkids, because everything we're seeing right now is definitely uncharted territory. How it all ends, if we don't have World War III, our poor kids and grandkids have to fix Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, borders, healthcare, politics. You got a lot on your plate, kids. So buckle up and get ready. So now I'll calm back down and tell you the old California minimum wage, the $20, I'm kind of keeping that on a low simmer to see how that's going to play out. Apparently, the largest holder of Burger King franchises and Taco Bell's, he's got over 180 locations. He said he cannot get kiosks fast enough. That came out this morning. So he's having trouble replacing his workers. So $20 an hour. It's a living wage, Anthony. You and I have gone back and forth on that. We need to pay people a living wage. It's not going to work out well. The unfortunate situation. So you pay these poor high school kids or struggling seniors $20 an hour, just started a few weeks ago, and they got fired. So how did we help them? So they're going to get $400 or whatever in their universal basic income, but they don't have a job. You know, it's going to raise the cost of food. I don't know.
That's such a cop-out answer. We had real inflation because the government shut down the entire country. Inflation prices we're seeing are greedflation. The actual cost of goods did not go up the way that they're selling it to us now. If you say you have to raise wages for an employee, then obviously other wages will or other costs and stuff go up, but it doesn't have to be in excess.
They don't have to anyways.
Somebody's got to take the loss somewhere down the line.
You can say it's a cop-out all you want. I can tell you if a bunch of people are being laid off in California, they don't care if it's a cop-out. They're out of work now because of kiosks. The guy cannot get kiosks fast enough to replace the workers as fast as he wants. Cop-out or not, it sucks. It's not fair, but the whole thing is problematic. We got to get to one more. We have to get to one more thing. I know we're getting towards the end of the show, but I didn't even want to get that one for you and I to go back and forth. I want to get the student loan thing. I mean, you know, Biden was shut down by the Supreme Court a few months back for that thing when he was going to, you know, cancel the $10,000 to $20,000 debt per student loan debtor. Now, apparently, there's a new one, and it says here, this article I got, Zero Hedge. Oh, I'm doing a good day with Zero Hedge. This is from yesterday, the 16th. Biden's new student debt relief will add up to $750 billion to the budget deficit. When you forgive loans for somebody, these are government they're funded loans. They go into the debt coffers. They don't just magically disappear, or we could go back to the Facebook memes. If you can print endless money, why don't you just pay off my mortgage? Why do I have to pay taxes if you just have a money machine or tree in your backyard?
And if we're gonna, back to the beginning of the episode, if you're gonna waste money, at least it's wasting money helping Americans.
They're doing both. They're gonna do this debt forgiveness. Anthony, be less naive. They want to do this right before the election. This is all very much intentional. You're, and you know what? For somebody who paid off a student loan for his wife when we got married, you're rewarding bad behavior and you're punishing good behavior. You took out the student loan. I know it's predatory. I know where you're going to go next with that. I never should have had that kind of loan, but they did. And the people signed it. They're adults and it's predatory. That's nice. But the people like me that busted my ass to pay it off are being punished. And the people that are, you know, they want your vote, they're getting rewarded. And I have to say one more thing, because I know Jim's about to flash the time on here. Shadowing.
5 minutes. We got time.
Oh, good. Then I'll slow down. Shadowy Mayorkas-linked NGO in Mexico tells border invaders to vote Biden. Let me clear something up for you. So when I think that they're forgiving loan debt, Anthony, you think it's because we're finally helping Americans and not Ukrainians. Baloney. I think it's because we're buying votes. Here's another one. You think we're helping these poor, underserved newcomers. The flyer says, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. How on earth do you not see what they're doing? They're importing voters. They want.
Now, how are you importing voters? Because you can't vote if you're not a citizen.
Oh, gosh, darn it, Anthony. I would love if we did the show sitting next to each other so I could shake you. You're not too old for shaking baby syndrome. Of course they're voting. 2,000 mules. Anybody that says there wasn't voter fraud, they're out of their mind. I don't care what side you're on. The tides could turn, and you could have voter fraud for other side, too. Of course they're voting. They're coming in the country illegally. So they've already committed a crime. You don't think they're likely to get a fake ID? You don't think they're likely to vote by mail if I hand them a ballot to vote for Biden? You don't think, given this flyer out saying to vote for Biden, if
I of course Biden, think they can. Flyer. That's because we're not fixing the true issues.
And that's why I think you and your cohorts need to buckle up, because you have so much to fix. And that border is one of the items. I found this absolutely annoying. It says here, by the way, you do not need documentary proof of citizenship to register to vote. You can vote if you simply swear you are eligible. Let me send you this article too.
Oh my God.
As long as I cross my fingers and promise not to lie, they'll let me have a bunch of free money and free dry cleaning, and they'll let me vote. You are seeing the shaping of a nation, and you can fight me if you wish on all this stuff. You're the one that's going to have to live with it 30 years longer than I am. I am so glad I'm my age. You know, when you're younger, you're like, oh, I wish I knew what I knew out and go back to high school. I don't, not for a minute. I did that when I was younger. Right now, I just feel so bad for you and for Jim.
Right now, we're just hoping you make it to Saturday.
The odds are looking pretty peaky at this point. I feel pretty puny right about now. But I've had a good time. Today was fun to me. Even when I feel like, you know what? I still get charged up and I love this stuff. So I'm glad people are with us.
It for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have questions about any of the topics today, or you want to sit down with us to review your personal financial situation, you can reach us, team@anothermoneyshow.com, on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can send us a chat through there, an email. You can book appointments with us straight from the website. You can find us on YouTube. You can find old episodes of Another Money Show wherever you like and subscribe to podcasts, Google, Spotify, all those fun ones. Remember, if you reach out to us, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's really nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford and Associates, veteran owned and proud to serve Americans like you.